Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light, and try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout the state of Pennsylvania. It is time for the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, joined by Bob Flounders and Andy Shea. Russ Tucker will be along in a bit for Tucker's Tape and Ask Ross. Guys, it's time for news and notes, and that means we're still talking about players coming and going. Andy, let me start with you. The big news in the last day or two was Antonio Shelton has found a new home, and that new home is at Florida. Is that a good spot for him, and was this a good business decision on his part?
Well, I have to think, because this is what I think Antonio, the player, believes, is that he's more than just a one technique, right, Rob? He thinks he can play more, add more variety to his game against along the defensive line. Penn State never saw it that way. Penn State's right, by the way. But obviously, Florida believes that he can do that because otherwise there was nothing he could add to his body of work by transferring. He was just looking – I'm pretty sure he was just looking to expand on his repertoire as a defensive lineman, but dude, he's pretty much a one-trick pony and he's not bad at it. So I'm not, you know, I don't think it was a good business move, although, you know, Gainesville's better than State College in December, right? But I don't see him having any impact as anything other than what he already is. And I'm not sure it was a good business decision.
All right. Well, we have one player leaving in Antonio Shelton, and we found out his landing spot. But, Bob, we had somebody else decide to stick around, and this is the first one of this group of seniors, and that's Tariq Castro Fields. He did decide he's going to come back for another year. He really didn't play much in 2020. He was hampered by injuries second half of 2019. How about for him? I think it's good for Penn State that he's coming back. How about for Tariq Castro Fields? Is it good for him?
Yeah, I would say I might be a little bit more surprised by Tariq's decision than Shelton's decision, only because I can't ever remember a player that was a game time decision for six straight games. I think he suffered his injury in the Maryland game. That was their third game. And then for six straight weeks, he warmed up like he was going to play, looked good in warmups when I saw him at the home games. And then he was in warmups when the game kicked off, and he looked like he was good. Obviously, something was definitely bothering him for him to come back. So I just hope whatever it is, you know, this is now 2 years where either he's been limited or he hasn't played at all. Maybe that is the thought process that if I have talent, but I have to show the NFL that I can hold up over a full season. I guess it makes sense when you think about it that way. He's definitely talented, but the last 2 years just have not been very kind to him. And I just don't know what it was that was bothering him for almost, you know, 6 or 7 weeks. I guess it could have been anything. It definitely helped Penn State if he can play. And if you look at their corner room now, they got at least five guys, I think, that they trust, whereas they were only playing with three in some games. So it's good. And just real quick on Shelton, I agree with what Andy said, but he's going to find out real soon, and we're all going to find out real soon if he made the right decision. If he thinks he's a three technique, what he's probably going to have to do, Andy, they listed him at 327, 330. I don't think he can play three technique. That's a little too big. I wonder if maybe he's planning on dropping some weight and then trying to become a little bit quicker.
Yeah, that's a good point. And also he's going to be in the SEC. So it might move a little faster than it does in the Big Ten. He definitely will have to do that. And you were talking about Tariq Castro Fields. I was shocked. that he came back and made this decision. Not because I didn't think he couldn't play or that he doesn't have a skill set or some of the talent that you're looking for at the NFL level. I think he has some of that. But the interesting thing was, if you go back, it's been over a year since he was healthy and played football, right? And that had to be the driving decision, whatever it was in 2020, because we're never going to know, right? If he was injured, maybe we'll know leading into next year why he didn't play in 2020. Sure. You know, we might get a nugget dropped in somewhere that lets us know. But it looked like an opt-out, right, Bob? I mean, it kind of looked like it looked like an opt-out. And kind of it made sense, because I think back to 2019 and I'm like, the beginning of it before he got hurt, you know, those first five or six games of 2019, he looked really good. And he looked like he'd taken a step forward, and that I thought, yeah, this is, they could be in danger of losing him, you know, sooner than later. And the fact that 2020 on so many fronts for everybody went sideways, but for him again to be injured, now he's got the, you know, sort of that, you know, injury riddled moniker to him, and maybe somebody got in his ear that told him it just wasn't, he hadn't developed his skills and talent enough to even consider going to the NFL, and he heeded that advice. Good for him, because it's obviously what he has had to have eroded as a player with playing so very little over the course of, you know, an entire year.
Andy, I'm with you that it did look like an opt-out. You know, maybe he was nicked up a little bit, but, you know, the season had already gone sideways, the way you put it. And, you know, we didn't see Jason Oway the last couple games, and I don't know, it may have been truly an injury, but it may also have been he knew where he was headed after the season. Now, for Tariq Castro-Fields, I think this was a good call for him. I keep using the expression, a good business decision. So, Bob, my question to you is, among these other guys, is there anyone else? Maybe they've already announced they're leaving, but some of them haven't. But, you know, Lamont Wade and Jaquan Brisker and Will Fries, among that group, is there any one of them that you think should have stuck around for another year to improve their draft status?
Well, now I'm beginning to wonder about a guy like Jaquan Brisker, because he only played 2 years of college, and I thought he was very good the final month of this season. But, you know, he's got that Senior Bowl invite, and so everyone just assumes he hasn't said anything, but everyone just assumes, you know, he's gone. Well, I think Tariq Castro-Fields had a Senior Bowl invite, which is another reason why I think we're a little bit surprised, because even if he didn't play a lot this year, I think had he been healthy going into the Senior Bowl, that could have been kind of an audition as well. So maybe we closed the book a little bit too soon on some of these players. I'm still curious about, you know, Jahan Dotson, and obviously a guy like Rashid Walker. They still have a little bit of time. But now that Tariq Castro-Fields has kind of surprised, I think, more than a few people, I think we just have to wait and see, and we have to let it play out. And maybe Tariq got some advice that said, hey, you might be better served coming back, and that might have clinched it for him.
I think you have a point there, Bob. Andy, at this point last week, the Penn State 2022 recruiting class got another member, another commitment, wide receiver Mekhi Flowers out of Harrisburg. Again, another Pennsylvania guy. That's 5 out of the 8 commitments, Pennsylvania guys. Does this represent a bit of a change in recruiting philosophy for the team?
No, I don't think so. I just think 2022 in the state of Pennsylvania, it's a little deeper class, right? The last two classes, the last two cycles in Pennsylvania, it's been a little top heavy in terms of FBS Power 5 talent. And this is cyclical. It happens. Some years it's deep, some years it's not. This year it's deeper, and not only is it deeper, but, you know, it's going to be hit and miss. James doesn't recruit Pennsylvania, quote-unquote, as a priority. He recruits Pennsylvania as part of his strategy, right? That's the one, you know, dissemination I want to make that I know is a fact, that Pennsylvania is not the priority. It's just part of the strategy. So, and the fact that it's deeper, and some years he's going to do well, and some years he's just not, because it is not the number one priority is Pennsylvania kids, Pennsylvania kids, Pennsylvania kids. I've seen Mekhi play a ton. I've covered a ton of games with him. He's a good FBS receiver that has some work to do at the next level. So I don't think he's like Parker Washington that you'd say come in and this guy's going to have an impact in his freshman year, because he's got too many holes in his game that you can see as a high school player that at the next level, he has to eliminate those. They're not inherent holes. I think they're a little bit of bad habit and a little bit of being the best guy, fastest guy on the field, that he's just developed some kind of bad habits. He consistently makes one or two extra moves with the football after he catches it that costs him sometimes. He's not a particularly clean route runner because he just runs by everybody most of the time, or they throw it to him in short and he just makes guys miss in space. So he's got some work to do, but I definitely think as a bigger, viable receiver, I like him a lot at the next level.
All right, in the last minute or two that we have here, guys, we've got a national championship game coming up. Bob, I know you were really high on Ohio State going into the game against Clemson. What's your call for the national championship game?
I think if Ohio State plays its best game, it could certainly win. I think 8.5 is a gift. I'm not so sure about the SEC. So I think Ohio State, if they play like they did against Clemson, can win the game. I was impressed with Fields, and I think they have the talent on the front, on the defensive and offensive lines, to win the game outright. And I think you're going to see another good game by Ohio State. I am picking them to win.
Very nice. I'd call that a little bit bold as an 8.5 point underdog. Andy, that's what you got to live up to, buddy.
I can't go that bold because I'm not going to pick Ohio State to win the game. But I do think this isn't the 11-2 scenario that that was some motivation for Ohio State, and good for them. I do think the Alabama defense does have some holes in it. And I think Ohio State being able to run the football consistently like they've been throughout the end of the regular season and into the playoffs, well, they didn't play much down the stretch, but let's just say in the college football playoffs, the way they ran in the Big Ten championship game and against Clemson, that sticks with me. But I'm still picking Roll Tide, too much offense.
Are they going to cover the spread?
No.
All right. That's the important question, all this. All right, that's it for quarter number one. Stick around. Quarter number two, Ross is going to join us. Tucker's Tape, we're going to look at this past season's Penn State offense. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hearty souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.